And if you would turn with me to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15. These are our subordinate doctrines. These are not equal or on par with the Word of God, but they help summarize what we believe, what the Bible teaches. And so the Heidelberg Catechism goes actually through the Apostles' Creed, clause by clause. And so in Lord's Day 15, it talks about what it means that Christ suffered. So Lord's Day 15, Heidelberg Catechism, please respond to the questions. What do you understand by the word suffered? That all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, he bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race, in order that by his suffering, as the only atoning sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? That he, being innocent, might be condemned by the temporal judge, and thereby deliver us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Is there anything more in his having been crucified than if he had suffered some other death? Yes, for thereby I am assured that he took upon himself the curse which lay upon me, because the death of the cross was a curse of God. Amen. Saints of God, what makes the suffering of Christ so unique? You look at world history, you look at all these religious leaders of most of the famous world religions. The leaders often have suffered or have become martyred in some way, shape, or form. And so there are plenty of people, famous people, who have suffered. But why is Christ any different? In fact, when you read the New Testament, put all the four Gospels together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there are 89 chapters. Out of those four Gospels, 31 of those chapters are dedicated to the last week of our Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering and eventual death on the cross. Why so much emphasis? Well, it comes down to two reasons. His suffering and death is unique because of who he is and because of what he has accomplished. Those two basic reasons. The Son of God gave up the joys and privileges of heaven. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus, who being in the form of God, form meaning the spitting image of who God is, so he is equal to God, but he did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The Son of God, in all of his glory, surrounded by all these angels and cherubs, proclaiming his praises, put all of that aside so that he could be born in a manger as the God-man. The Son of God was a man of sorrows who suffered hunger, grief, pain, trials of every kind. He was rejected by his own people. The Gospel of John tells us this, that he was in the world, and the world that was made through him, the world did not know him. And he came to his own, that is his own Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. Our Lord was tempted by the devil himself, using all of Jesus' human weaknesses to his advantage. Jesus suffered body and soul throughout his life, since birth. But the Catechism says, especially at the end of his life. Especially while he was betrayed, while he was mocked and under a sham of a trial that would lead to his beatings and his mockeries that he would receive, and eventually the nails that pierced his hands and feet. No movie, no painting could ever capture the full weight of the suffering of Christ. The Son of God suffered bitter anguish of the soul as he was considered to be accursed accursed of God and forsaken by his own father, which is why when he was hanging on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken by his father because what his father saw in Christ was our sin, all of our evil. And the father cannot look upon evil without judging it and condemning it. And so, like Isaiah 53 tells us, it pleased the Lord to crush him. Our Lord suffered body and soul. What did this accomplish? Well, I'll let 1 Peter 3 tell us what Christ accomplished through his suffering. He says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." You can look at Gandhi, you can look at all these other figures. Maybe inspirational, but they don't bring us to the true God. The true God who made us, who created us for his glory. And that's why Christ's suffering is also not meant to just inspire us to be better people. Christ suffered so that we may have eternal life. Because we could not make ourselves better. Because it was impossible for us to be with God, to have fellowship with him. We needed Christ to do that for us. He suffered and died for your sins and for my sins to satisfy the insurmountable debt of sin that you and I could never pay. Now, with all of your best works, not all of your best days of your life combined could pay back one penny of your debt that you owe God because of your sins. So God had to buy you back, but it wasn't with gold, it wasn't with silver. It was with the precious blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. All so that you can enjoy the fellowship with the God you were made for. That you may know his love. That you may know of his faithfulness. That you may know of his unbroken promises. That you may know how greatly he is to be praised. That you may know how great your need is of him day by day. Jesus truly is a friend of sinners. He truly has come to seek and save the lost. And lastly, his suffering and death actually saves sinners. Every last one of whom Christ died for will come to him. I'll let John speak for himself, or Jesus says in John, he says this, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Friends, if you do not know this Christ, come to him. Repent and believe that you may have eternal life. Let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 15 with that.